When engulfed by the terror of tempestuous seas, unknown waves before you roll. At the end of doubt and peril is eternity, though fear and conflict seize your soul. Just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and find it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it home. When surrounded by the blackness of the darkest night, oh, how lonely death can be. At the end of this long tunnel is a shining light, for death is swallowed up in victory. Just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and find it celestial, of waking up in glory and finally.
Well, amen. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of looking forward to that day, right? Now, I'd rather go up in the rapture, wouldn't you? But if death finds me before that day comes and I wake up, the Bible says to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. What a great day that's going to be for a believer. Now, if you know not Christ today, you can change the whole thing. You can come put your faith and trust in Christ, that when you likewise face the hour of death, that likewise to be absent from your body will be present with the Lord if you have Christ. Without Christ, you will also be absent from the body, but it will be separated from God in a terrible place called hell forever and ever and ever. And you don't want that. And by the way, neither does God want that. He wants you to be saved. He wants you in heaven. He wants to spend eternity with you this morning. Don't turn Him away. This could be your last opportunity, your last invitation to come this morning. Take your Bible and join me, if you would, please, in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I'll give you just a moment to find your place. The passage of Scripture will be familiar to those of you that are familiar with your Bible. If you're new to Christianity or you're new to the Bible and you do not know, recognize this passage of Scripture, we're going to read about 20 verses for just a moment. It won't take us but a second. But you can also find this record of this particular case in two other places. The Gospel of Matthew records it, and then also the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, you'll find it there. So let's stand together out of love and respect for the Word of God as we read Mark chapter number 5. Follow along silently as I read, beginning in verse number 1. And they, that's Jesus and His disciples, came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now let me stop there and say this. You say, what is going on here? This man's full of the devil. I didn't say he was influenced. I said he is possessed by the devil. He's full of the devil. A lost man. You say, well, he's acting crazy. That's normally what happens. People don't act normal when the influence of Satan is on their lives. And so this man is not acting like a human being. He's acting like something out of his mind, which he was. Verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. And by the way, that's what makes the difference right there. That'll put you in your right mind. Look what happens. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told in the city, told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Something changed, right? Something totally changed in this man's life. But listen, it all started when he came to Jesus. And when he came to Jesus, that started the change of his mind and his direction. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now I want you to go back, if you would, to verse number 17 is our text verse. Jesus came into this land, people who were heathens, pagans, lost people, without God, serving other gods and hurting themselves, and obviously many of them were away from God and knew not the things of God. And yet Jesus showed up on their shore to change their whole lifestyle, to change their whole view of life. This man possessed of a devil, the devil was cast out. Now he's sitting clothed in his right mind. An incredible miracle. And you would think that they would have embraced that, right? You think that they would have embraced it and said, glory to God, we got our friend back. We got our daddy back. We got our co-worker back. That isn't how they responded. Notice in verse 17. When they saw this, verse 17, and they began to pray him, Jesus, listen now, to depart out of their coasts. And listen, you know what they did? They said, get out of here. Go away. We don't need what you have. Go somewhere else and do this. I want to speak to you out of that verse, and the subject of our sermon and message today is this: when Jesus is forced to leave. When Jesus is forced to leave. Father, would you bless now the teaching and preaching of your word? Open our heart and spirit to what you have for us today, and we'll certainly not take it for granted. I believe without question, Lord, you've assembled us together in this congregation for this purpose and place. And we ask now, do your work, open our hearts, convict us, Holy Ghost of God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. You ever been asked by somebody to leave? You ever been asked by somebody that says, listen, take what you've got and go somewhere else. You annoy me. Have you ever been looked in the face and somebody told you, get out of my house or get out of my presence? That's not a comfortable situation to be in. But I want to say to you that in the ministry all these years, there's been times in my life where I have been asked by someone to leave. I've been asked to leave their home. I've been asked to leave their business. I've been asked to leave their presence. You see, it's not necessarily me they want out. It's what I represent is what they want out. You see, they don't know you from Adam or Eve. They don't know you. But they do know the person that you're representing. And they knew what kind of lifestyle that they're in, and what they're doing and what you're representing contradict each other. And so the easiest thing to do is to get it away from them. Go away. I don't need anything. You see, that's kind of an uncomfortable situation to be in. But often I've heard people say, as I was leaving their business or leaving their home or leaving their presence, I've heard them say things like this: I just want to be left alone. Just leave me alone. Let me live my life like I want. Listen, my friend, that's why I'm there. I'm trying to help you. Don't live your life the way that you want. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And it's a better life than what you're trying to live. You see, it hurts when you know that your thoughts and your intentions are pure. But I've heard them say, I just want to be left alone. Or maybe I've heard them say something like this: I don't need you. I don't need your help. I don't need your Bible, your God. I don't need anything. Just go away. Maybe you've heard people say this: you just need to mind your own business. You just mind your own business and stop trying to shove God or shove religion down my throat. Let me say something to you, my friend. I have never met very many Christians. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure I met one that tried to force anybody to accept the Lord or come to church. Didn't try to force anybody. But you know what they are? They are pleading, though. They do want you to see a change in your life. You know, it's not hard to tell who the miserable people are and who the happy people are. And they're trying to get you onto a place to where you want to be. Sometimes people just say, listen, just mind your own business. And then I've had people tell me on the way out, don't ever come back. Get out and don't ever come back. Did you know that in our text verses today, that is basically what the Gadarenes told Jesus? They said, get in that ship and get out of here and don't ever come back. Now listen, let me say something quickly here. You better be careful in your life. You better be careful. Because if you run Jesus out of areas of your life, listen to me, He may not come back to you in that area of your life. Don't force Him out of your life. Let Him do the work. Listen, He came to the land of the Gadarenes to do a great work. He cast a devil out of a man. Man, I don't know about you, that's pretty impressive. But they didn't see it that way. And yet today in our society, you know, God's still doing some incredible things. He's still doing some miraculous things, and yet people are still saying, I don't need you. I don't need your Bible. I don't need your God. Just leave me alone. Mind your own business. Well, I found out some results of people who ran Jesus off and ran God off. Let me take you back, and you don't turn there in your Bible, but let me take you back in your mind to Exodus chapter 12. 10 different times Moses came to Pharaoh, and he could have let them go on their terms, but he chose not to. And after the 10th time, the death of his own son, listen to me, he said, go and serve your God. Get out of here. Take what you want, but just get out of my presence. You see, when God was forced out, we know the rest of the story, right? Nothing good ever happened from that point. Matter of fact, if you'll remember, God opened the Red Sea. You see, if Pharaoh would have minded his own business, him and his children and his wife would have had somebody to come home to that night, but he didn't. Because he had run God off, he pursued him to make sure that he stayed off. God let that army of the Egyptians come down into the Red Sea and swallowed them up. Nothing good happens when you force Jesus out. Nothing good ever happens when you force God out of your life. Let me remind you that in the day of Eli, the man of God, his two sons were perverted in the house of God. And there the Bible says the ark of God, because of their disobedience and because of their lack of compassion, the ark of God was taken by the Philistines, and the scripture tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3, it says, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple. It went out in the temple of the Lord. The ark was taken away. Listen, nothing good ever happened when the ark departed the people of God. When God departed, nothing good ever happened. And by the way, I found out, the Philistines found out the hard way, nothing ever good happens when you try to manipulate God either. They found that out real quick too. They said, man alive, get this God out of here. And they sent him back. They didn't want him. And by the way, that's what the world will do. You know, they find out that when once God doesn't match up to their lifestyle, they'll send him back. You see? And you'll find in Acts 24, remember old Felix and Paul? Remember, Paul had been arrested. He'd come before Felix. And Paul got up there and preached the gospel to him and told him about his sin and told him he needed to be converted. And the Bible says his knees begin to hit one against the other. But listen, you know what he did though? Instead of accepting the Lord, he knew it was the truth. Instead of accepting it, here's what he told. He says, Paul, go away and I'll hear thee again at a more convenient time. The problem is, he didn't have another convenient time because you read the story, he got kicked out. He never heard Paul again. Be careful about forcing Jesus out because you may not hear another message. You may not hear his voice again. Felix ran him off, and then we find in Acts 26 that King Agrippa did the same thing. Remember the famous statement that King Agrippa made in Acts 26:28? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You know what he did? Him and Bernice got up, they left, forced Jesus out. The message of Christ was forced out. I find out in any of these cases, we never find out, we never know that Felix ever got saved. We never have any information that Agrippa got saved. We know what happened to Pharaoh, and we also know what happened to Eli. Nothing good ever happens when you force God out of your life. You see, in our text today, Jesus was told to depart from their presence. Listen now, even though what he was there for was to help them. He wasn't there to hurt them. He was there to help them. You know, when aggressive Christians go to the doors and we knock on doors and talk to people about their soul, no, listen, we're not there to hurt anybody. We're there to try to help them. We're not there to try to force and spoon feed them the gospel. We're just saying, listen, here's an alternative life that will bring joy and happiness and incredible benefits someday if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus was there to help them, to love them. And yet his grace, his mercy, his love was turned aside. The evidence of a miracle was right at their fingertips. Listen, folks, they were that close. They were that close to having their village changed, their lives changed. And what could have been a continual salvation and a continual change for the better for generations to come. They were that close. But you know what? They ran Jesus off. They were that close to accepting the Lord. Can I say to you today that just like the Gadarenes here in our country in America, we forced Jesus out of a lot of things. We forced him out of our school systems. We forced him out of our public places. And listen to me, and in some places we're forcing him out of our churches. You know why? Because what he wants doesn't match up with what we want. And folks, listen, again, let me say this to you. God gave us the Bible for your life and my life to conform to it, not the Bible to your life. We have a Word of God that we're to conform to. God will never conform to your life. You must come on His terms, with His diagram and His plan. America has run God out, and we've asked Jesus and forced Him to leave out of our schools and public places, and unfortunately, in too many of our churches, we forced him out. Why? Because biblical Christianity is not convenient anymore. Because our lifestyle is not lining up with the Scripture, and so, therefore, the Bible is a little bit too narrow for us. It's a little bit too difficult for us. Isn't it amazing how we look at Christianity and we look at the Bible that way, and yet most people will go to work tomorrow, and if their boss told you to do a backflip and pick up every one of those Styrofoam popcorn things, well, you'd do it without any questions whatsoever. You say, man, I promise you, you didn't go home and say, man, I'm telling you, honey, that boss is narrow-minded today. You know what he made me do? Listen, he'd make you do anything, right? He just told you, you can pick those up, would you, please? And you had a choice, didn't you? You see, God gave us the Word of God. He said, there's salvation, there's the Son of God, here's happiness. You got a choice. You can make the choice or not. But listen to me. Don't run Jesus off. Don't force him out of your life. Just because you don't understand something, don't ask him to depart out of your presence. I found here in our text a couple of things I want you to think about for just a moment. First of all, when Jesus is forced to leave, listen to me, He will leave quietly. Did you notice that when He was asked and forced to leave, the Scripture says He just got into the ship and went back to the other side? He didn't say, "Now wait here just a minute, you boys. Do you know who I am? Do you not know I am God? I could just think it. All of y'all turn back into powder." Never was aggressive at all toward them. Listen, when you ask Jesus to leave, He's going to leave quietly. He's not going to grab you. He's not going to put a ball and chain around your ankle. He's not going to make you do anything. Listen, we're either going to come to Him willfully or we will not come at all. You see, what I'm trying to help us with today is here in this instance, they said, "Depart from us." And He left quietly. Hey, He's not going to stay where He's not welcome. He's not going to force His will upon anyone. You see, He'll not criticize. He'll not minimize. He'll not publicize your choice. He'll just leave. And He'll leave quietly. You see, He will simply respond respectfully to your request. You see, Jesus will be received. Again, think with me. He'll either be received willfully or He will not be received at all. And when they asked Him, "Depart," you know what He did? He got into the boat and went back to the other side. Sermon over, illustration over, no more preaching, no more Bible, no more nothing. He left, and He left quietly. And those of us, listen to me, look up here, those of us, including this preacher, that have forced Jesus out in times past of our life, you know what? I found out that He didn't say, "No, well, you just wait here just a minute. I'm not leaving this place." He will leave quietly. You know, He leaves so quietly that if you'll remember Samson? The Spirit of God came on him. And that last time when Delilah said, "The Philistines be upon thee," he jumped up and the Bible said he wist not. He just got jumped up like times before. He didn't even know God had left. You know why? Because he left quietly. You know why? Because that's what Samson wanted. He won, and it was gone. He gave away the secret of his strength, and he left quietly. Listen to me. Many of you have found out that when you've driven Jesus out or forced Him out, He left quietly, didn't He? He didn't pin you down. You asked Him to leave, and He left. Be careful about forcing Jesus out. I noticed something else here about this. Look down, if you would, in verse number 19. Remember the guy that He cast the devils out of? Jesus, if He's forced to leave, He will leave quietly. But listen, here's the second thing I want you to think about. He will leave a witness, though. He will leave a witness. You see, He healed this man, cast his devils out of him. Look at verse 19. "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him," this is the guy, "He said, listen, can I get in the ship and go with you?" Man, you know what? Every preacher would go out of his mind if all the church members said, "Can we get in the ship with Jesus? And can we travel the rest of our life with you?" Well, wouldn't that be great? If we all just decide to get in the boat today. But Jesus said, "Wait a minute. They're running me off, man. Don't you see this? I cannot leave this place without a witness. I need you to go back to your friends. I need you to go back to your family. I need you to go back and tell them. Because listen to me, my friend. They're running me off. They're telling me to leave. So I'm going to leave quietly. But you need to stay. You need to hang out here and be a witness." You know why? You say, "Why, preacher?" Listen, regardless of our attitude toward Him, He still desires a relationship with you. Why? Because He loves you. Listen, folks, you can't eliminate that. You might run Jesus off, but you can never eliminate His love for your soul and love for your life. You can't ever undo that. You see, He will leave a witness. And you know how I know that? Because according to 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9, the Scripture says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises." Some men count slackness. "But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Why? He's going to leave. Listen, you may force Him out, but He's going to leave a seed. You may force Him out, but He's going to leave a witness. Every time. Isaiah 55, verse number 11, listen to it. "So shall my word," the Scripture says, "be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Listen, they might have asked Jesus to leave, but that old maniac that got saved and got born into the family of God in his right mind, the seed was in him. The gospel was in him. The truth was in him. He says, now I need you to take this and go back to the places that don't want me. Listen, they're not running you off, man. They're running me off. So you must go and tell the gospel. I'm here to tell you, Jesus, if he's forced, will leave quietly. Secondly, he will leave a witness. But let me say thirdly this. He will leave, listen now, maybe never to return again. You know, the best that we can tell from Scripture, when Jesus was run off from Gadara, he never showed up there again. Can I say this morning to you, this may be your last opportunity. If you force him out this morning, this could be it, folks. You may die like you are. It could be today. It could be tonight. This may be it. Hey, listen, as far as we know from the Scripture, Jesus never returned to Gadara to do a work of any kind. But let me tell you something. They still had a witness, though. That maniac was still there. And listen, I know he went, and I know he was a soul winner, because he went back and he began to tell and all of Decapolis what Jesus had done for him. You know what everybody did? They marveled. I'm sure that he ran down the streets and someone pinched him and says, isn't that crazy, man? Isn't that crazy, man, mama? That we saw out there when we was passing a cemetery the other day? Yeah, something changed about him. He's got his clothes on now. He's in his right mind now. Something's different about him, mama. What is it? I don't know. Somebody said he got Jesus in his heart. Now, I don't know who this Jesus is, son, because we didn't get a chance to hear, because the city ran him off. Cast him out. Told him to leave. You see, he will leave, but he may not return. You see, they did not count the cost of forcing Jesus out. You see, I'm sure that there were probably some, oh, you know what, just so what, I don't go to church, I'll go someday. Oh, so what, I'll walk out today without Christ in my heart, I'll get another opportunity. I wonder if some of them that ran him off said, he'll be back. He'll be back. I wonder if some of them said that run him off, said, listen, I don't know what, we just need to ask him to go. And he left, and I'm sure that on the way back, I wonder if some of them said, well, you know what, if he is what he said, he'll probably be back, right? He'll give us a second chance. Check me out. I don't know if he ever gave them a second chance. They had one chance, and that may be the only chance you get. That may be the only chance that you get to come to Christ this morning. Today may be the only chance that you get to surrender your life to Christ and give your life over to him. You say, preacher, why did they force him out? Why did they force him to leave? Jot these things down and I'm done. This is why I think the best answer is, just let the Bible answer for us, okay? I'm going to show you from Scripture why they forced Jesus out and why they forced him to leave. The first one that you will find in Scripture is found in Mark chapter 5 and verse 15. Go back and look at it. Now, when the word got back, now remember, keep in mind, because it's going to play a very important part here in just a second. Remember the guy that was watching over the swine? He's kind of a lost character in this whole thing, but he's going to come back and play a part here in just a minute. He's out there taking care of the swine. That legion of devils that was possessing this man said, listen, send us, let us go and into those swine over there. And Jesus bid them, and they went. Now, into 2,000, folks, 2,000 pigs. Those devils went into, ran down the embankment and off the cliff and down into the sea, killed all 2,000 of them. Think about that. I'm going to come back to that in just a second, because that guy plays a big part. But he's the one that went into the city and announced what was going on. So look at verse 15. And they came to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. Here's one reason they ran him off right here. And they were afraid. They were afraid. Do you know that people force Jesus out of their life because they're afraid? You said, afraid of what, preacher? Afraid of the unknown. You see, the thing about it is, here's what. Some people sit in a church service. They watch people come and put their faith in Christ. They watch them come up in the baptistry and get baptized. And here's what they think. They think that somehow that water right there is going to all of a sudden make everything right and everybody's going to be perfect. Listen, look up here at this preacher. It don't work that way. Okay? That water you see up there, that's just a mode. That's just a picture. Just like if I pulled out of my wallet this morning and showed you my driver's license, it's got an incredibly handsome picture on there. But that doesn't matter. But in there, on my driver's license, everybody's picture looks like a mugshot, right? But if I showed you that picture and I said, is that me? And most of you just look at that. Yeah, that's you. No, wrong. That's not me. That's a reflection of me. This is me. Right? You see that baptistry right up there? That's not salvation. That's not perfection. That's not the washing of sins. All that is a picture, folks. That's all it is. What you're doing if you've accepted Christ by getting baptized, you're just simply showing a picture of Jesus Christ in your life. You see, these people were afraid. They were afraid of the unknown. They didn't know who Jesus was. They didn't know. Well, here's a guy comes, casts the devils out of their friend, and people come in and say, look, you don't believe what happened. Come out here and see this. They were afraid. See, people, listen now, they're afraid of the unknown. Oh, listen to me, listen to me. People are afraid to change. Yeah, they're afraid to change. You know why? Because people, I've heard it a million times, oh, I can't accept Jesus because I can't live it. Well, look up here. I've been saved 28 years, and I'm still trying to live it. Okay? You see, all you see here, these aren't perfect people. You know what they are? They're people trying to live like a Christian. I said trying, they've never reached perfection yet. But there's coming a day as a believer, I'm going to be able to live it completely. I'm going to be able to live it without any problems because I'm going to have a perfect mind, a new body. Yeah. As a matter of fact, my mind's going to have, I'm going to have the mind of Christ. I'm going to have a new body. I'm not going to desire sin, lust, filth, any of that anymore. Boy, I tell you one thing, in that day, you know what I'm going to live? I'm going to be able to live it. But right now, I'm trying my best to do and fulfill the Word of God. That's all it is. You see, they were afraid. They were afraid of the unknown. They didn't know who Jesus was. They were afraid of change. They didn't know anything about this doctrine. Salvation, what's that? They didn't know anything about that. You see, they were also afraid of the truth. You see, when they looked at that maniac, all they had ever known this guy, as far as we can tell, all they ever knew this guy was like he was, out of his mind. And now everything totally changed. Oh, by the way, let me tell you something good about this. You know how long it took for him to change? That quick. And you know when Jesus comes into your life, you know how long it takes for you, you know how quick salvation takes place? Just like that. Isn't that great? You see, the thing about it is, that maniac didn't say, wait a minute, I feel something. No, didn't take that at all. Matter of fact, did you notice that Jesus didn't say, no, wait a minute, here, let's measure your faith. Yeah, right. You got a ways to go, man. I'll come back over here in about 2 weeks, we'll see if your faith's increased. If it is, we'll think about casting that devil out of you. Listen to me, help me out now. He never asked the guy about his faith. Did he? No, never did. He just cast the devil out of the guy. Why? Because he came to Jesus. That's all it took. You see, this morning, I don't care what you've heard, what you've read, what you need to do this morning, if you want to come to Christ, you already have the seed of faith enough. You say, how much does it take to be saved? Jesus said, if you believe, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this sycamine tree, be thou cast into the sea. And it'll be done unto you. You know, a mustard seed, I've had one in my hand. It'll fall right down into the crack of in my hand. That's how small it is. You say, Rich, I don't know if I got enough faith to be saved. If you come, that's enough. That's it. If you come, that's enough. You see, never ask the guy. And never measured his faith. Listen, I'm just saying, people force Jesus away because they're afraid. They're afraid of the unknown. They're afraid of change. They're afraid of the truth. They're afraid of what the truth might do in their life. Let me give you something else. Look at verse 16 real quick. Remember, I told you about the guy with the swine? And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil. He went into the city. She didn't go believe this. Remember old maniac guy out here? You don't go believe it. Come look. He's in his right mind. He's clothed. Everything's fine. I'm sure people said, oh, yeah, right. Yeah? Yeah, right. That's why a lot of people don't come to church. You know why? Because they say, listen, you got to come over here. Man, I'm telling you, the fellowship's great. I'm telling you, God is me. God is me. Yeah, right. I've heard that before. Now look at it. It says he went into the city. He told everybody, listen now, about to him that was possessed with the devil. But remember, he was the guy watching over the pigs. Remember that? He didn't stop by just telling. He said, and by the way, this same Jesus, I lost 2,000 head of pig. Did you look at it? And also concerning the swine. Now listen, folks. If somebody comes and you think that they did something to take your entire lifestyle away and your entire means of making a living, you're going to be upset about that, aren't you? Listen to me. You know why they also forced Jesus out? Not only because they were afraid, because they're mad. That's why. Yeah, they're mad. This guy, this herder of pigs, he's mad, man. And you know why I know that? Because the very next verse it said they prayed him that he should depart from them. He's upset. Can I ask you something? Are you angry at God today for something he's allowed in your life? What are you mad at God about? Come on, help me out. Don't just sit there and look pious. Listen, what are you mad at God about? Because I promise you, looking at all the folks this morning, there's somebody here mad as a hatter against God. You know why? Because he allowed something to happen in your life and you could not explain it. And you feel that your entire life has been altered because of God. And you're here this morning, you're angry. Now you wouldn't come out and say it, but you know what? You're feeling it inside. I'm just asking you. Are you angry at God today over something that he's allowed in your life? Are you angry at God because he didn't stop what you thought was something that was hurtful, listen to me, or unfair? Are you angry with him over that? But listen to me. God has the ability and choice to do whatever he pleases. Whatever he pleases. You see, people get angry at God. Listen, have you forced Jesus to depart from your home or your life because you blame him for the way that you turned out in life? Listen, I hear people all the time, well, you just don't understand, preacher. What I came out of, well, let me ask you this, what do you think this dude came out of? This guy's full of the devil. Think he came from a Christian home? I doubt it. You think he came from a home where they taught him principles and respect? I doubt it. You see, some people all today, we always have something to fall back on, don't we? I preach, you don't understand, I'm just a product of my environment. Well, can I say today, if you'll come to Jesus, you'll be a product of that environment also. There is a way to change. You see, they just forced him out because they were afraid and they were angry. You see, I'm here to tell you, listen to me, there's a lot of angry people today who are using God as a scapegoat for their own decisions in life. And it's easy to blame God, right? Because, by the way, he ain't here. Was that right? Oh yeah, he hears. You see, they were angry. This man, this pig herder, went in and told him, said, listen, this guy, you know what he did? Man, he cost me 2,000 people. Let's go out and knock him in the head. I'm sure they came out and I'm sure they weren't going, wonderful miracle. No, they were angry. And they forced him out. Listen to me. And the best I can tell, he never came back. And anger will cause people to force Jesus out of their life. Listen to me. And many times he never returns when they force him out. Sometimes God becomes a scapegoat for anger. They were afraid. Here's the third thing I find here. They were indifferent. They were indifferent. Anybody find any place in here where when they went out and they saw the man healed, demons cast out of him, clothed in his right mind, did all of them say, hey, come over here. I got two like him in my house. Two teenagers. Just kidding. Now listen, did you notice Come on, it's okay. Y'all lighten up down here, teenage. Just our teenage sex. Lighten up. Y'all okay with me? Y'all okay? Nod your head. Y'all all right? Okay. I'm just kidding. Now, listen to me. They didn't go and embrace it. Did y'all notice that? They didn't run out there and say, hey, can you come to my house? I've got some people need to talk to you. They didn't. You know what their first reaction was? Get in your boat and get out of here, man. Get out. They were afraid. They were angry. But listen, they were indifferent. They didn't embrace the miracle. Listen, they didn't seek Jesus to give attention to any others at all. They were not concerned with their own souls, even though, listen, the answer was right there. They were that close. They were that close to seeing their lives changed. You see, the Gadarenes ignored all the evidence. They disregarded all the truth. And they relied on their own feelings to make the decision. I have people all the time, well, preacher, I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel like making it. I just don't feel like being saved. I don't feel like doing it. Listen, if I relied on my feelings all the time, I'd be in a nut house. You can't rely on your feelings, folks, all the time. Because your feelings will deceive you. Yes. You see, because of their inability to explain what happened, their internal fear and their indifference and their anger, their emotions caused them to force Jesus out. And best we can tell, he never returned to do a work there again. Let me ask you today, which of these scenarios best describes where you are today? You afraid? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of change? Are you afraid of the unknown? Are you afraid of the truth? Listen to me, folks. I came to Christ 28 years ago. If you knew what I was like before I came to Christ, you would vomit. And I'm not trying to be gross. I'm just telling you the truth. You say, preacher, you mean you was a rotten scoundrel? Of the worst sort. But you know what? I came and found Christ. And when I found Christ, you know what he did? He put me in my right mind. You say, when did that happen? It ain't happened yet. You mean it's happened? Listen, are you afraid this morning? Listen to me. Are you angry? What are you angry at God about? He's never done you wrong. He's always done you right. What are you angry at? Are you indifferent this morning? Have you forced him out of your life? Listen to me. He's willing to return. Listen, but only at your invitation. Only at your invitation will he return. And the best that I can tell, the Gadarenes never gave him another invitation, so he never showed back up. He said, well, what if I force Jesus out? And I just say, listen, preacher, I don't want to have anything to do with God, the Bible. What if I force him out this morning? Listen to me. If you're without Christ, please listen to me. If you know not Christ, listen to the Scripture, the words out of Jesus' own mouth in Luke chapter 13 and verse 27. He said, but he, speaking of God, shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Listen to this. Depart from me. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. If you force Jesus out this morning and know not Christ and die without Jesus Christ, you likewise one day will be forced out by him. Forced out of his presence. Forced out of what you could have had as far as eternal life in heaven with God. You see, one day you'll be forced to leave the presence of God forever and ever and ever. And you will not have an invitation to return. It'll be forever. Don't force him out this morning if you know not Christ. Come, listen. If you're a child of God this morning, come. You say, but I'm angry. Get over it, folks. You can. Just come this morning and say, Lord, remove this anger and help me to get beyond this situation. It wasn't even my fault. Hey, listen, most of the things that we suffer in life is not our fault. A lot of times it's because of the circumstances of somebody else. We've got to be smart. Don't be angry at God. Are you afraid? Say, I'm afraid to change, preacher. I'm afraid to get baptized. I'm afraid to come to church. I'm afraid to read my Bible. I'm afraid to ask God to use me and do something. Listen, don't be afraid. I promise you, what His will is for your life is a whole lot better than your plans for your life. But when Jesus is forced to leave. I'm hearing. He will leave quietly. But he will leave a witness. But if you tell him to leave this morning, he may not return. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking. I wonder how many this morning are sincere, truly born-again believers. And you're not ashamed of it. You say, preacher, that's me. I want to see who you are. I want you to slip your hand way up high and you say, I'm a true born-again believer. And preacher, I put my faith and trust in the Savior, the God of heaven, forever and ever. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Nobody's looking but me. Please let this be a very holy, reverent time. It's a very important time in the invitation. I wonder if there might be at least one here this morning that would say, preacher, I know not Christ. I came this morning looking for answers. I came this morning knowing in my heart that if I died, I'd end up in eternity without Christ. And you'd say this morning, preacher, pray for me. If I died right where I am, I can't honestly say that heaven's my home. Would you at least let me pray for you this morning, please? And you say, preacher, that's me. I want you to slip your hand up. Don't be afraid. Listen, don't be indifferent this morning. And you say, preacher, that's me. Pray for me. I need Jesus Christ. Slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. Pray for me. Pray for me. You say, if I died today, I don't know for sure if I'd go to heaven. God bless you. You can put your hand down. And you, who will join these three? Who joined these three and say, preacher, that's me. Just slip it up. I want to pray for you. I'm concerned about your soul. Anybody else? Anybody else say, preacher, that's me. That's me. All right, maybe you're here this morning and you say, preacher, I am a believer, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. And you talked about that baptism was a picture. I thought it had something to do with a perfect life or washing away sins. Well, now you know from the Bible. And you'd say this morning, preacher, pray for me. I'm a believer, but I've never been baptized since I've accepted Christ. I know it's the right thing to do. Pray that I'll make the right choice in doing the right thing concerning baptism. Nobody's looking but me. Would you slip your hand up and pray for me? And you say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. God bless you, and you, and you. God bless you. You can slip your hands down. Who will join these three? These three that raise their hand. Anybody else? Say, preacher, I'm a believer. God bless you. But I've never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. And you'd say, that's me. Slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. Anybody like that? All right? Then one last thing. How many say, preacher, I am a born-again believer. I'm a child of God. But maybe you'd say this morning, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of giving my life to Christ. I'm afraid of surrender. I'm afraid of getting more involved in my church. I'm afraid, preacher, in some areas. And you say, please. Please pray for me. Be honest. Nobody's looking but me. You say, pray for me. Slip your hand up high. Just slip it up. Slip it. You say, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to make some serious choices in my life about Christ. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. I wonder how many of you this morning would be honest before God and say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. Some things have happened in my life that's caused me to become angry with God. And you'd say, please pray for me. There's some areas in my life I'm frustrated. I'm angry with God about because of what's happened in my life. And you say, I need prayer today, preacher. Be honest before God. Say, pray for me. Why don't you slip your hand way up high? Say, that's me. That's me. That's me. God bless you and you and you. Anybody else? And you and you. You can put your hands down. There's five people. Anybody will join these people? Join them. Join them. Anybody else? All right. You can put your hands down. Whatever God wants to do this morning, are you going to let Him do it? Don't ask Jesus. Don't drive Jesus. Don't force Jesus away. He's calling. He's right there at your fingertips. Would you come this morning? Father, I ask you in Jesus' name and by the blood of Christ, Lord, we've had many that have prayed over this building this week and asked you to do some miraculous things in our presence. I pray, Lord God, please, that this morning, that those that need to come to Christ for salvation would come. Those who need to be baptized would come. Those who need to make a transformation in their life, a change in their life, conforming to the image of Christ, that they would come. Oh, my Father, please. Nothing good ever happened for those who forced Jesus away. I don't want that to happen to anybody in this room. So you take control of the invitation, we pray, and we'll give all the glory for the results in Christ's name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? And as the instruments begin to sing and as the musician begins to sing, would you come? Would you come? Listen, if you raised your hand and I prayed with you, if you're a lady and you need someone to pray with, we'll get a lady to pray with you. If you're a man this morning, and we'll get a man to pray with you. Whatever your decision, this is the day, this is the time, this is the opportunity to come. Oh, don't waste it. Don't waste it. Don't drive Jesus. Don't force Him out this morning. If He's speaking, come. If He's speaking, come. Do what's right. Do the right thing this morning. Oh, please, for once in your life, make the right choice. Come on. Come on, this is your opportunity to come. Oh, we want to help. We got plenty of folks here who are willing to help you. If you said, I need Christ, come. We'll have somebody show you how to be saved. Some of you said, preacher, I need to be baptized. Listen, this is a great opportunity. You may not have tomorrow. You may not have next week.